23. Second Samuel chapter 23. Just another moment. Second Samuel chapter 23. If you have that, stand and stretch in honor for the reading of God's word. Verse 1 says, "Now these be the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel, said." Verse 2, "The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake to me, he that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. And he shall be as the light of the morning when the sun riseth, even a morning without clouds, as the tender grass springing out of the earth, by clear shining after rain. Although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things, and sure, for this is all my salvation and all my desire, although he make it not to grow. But the sons of Belial shall be all of them as thorns thrust away, because they cannot be taken with hands. But the man that shall touch them must be fenced with iron and the staff of a spear, and they shall be utterly burned with fire in the same place. These be the names of the mighty men whom David had. The Tachmonite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains, the same was Adino the Ezanite. He lift up his spear against 800, whom he slew at one time." Verse 9, "And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo the Ahite, one of the three mighty men with David when they defied the Philistines that were there gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. And he arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave unto the sword, and the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. And after him was Shamgar the son of Agi the Harite, and the Philistines were gathered together into a troop where was a piece of ground full of lentils, and the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it, and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory." Now, I want you to notice he defended that ground. It was decision ground. He stayed by the stuff. Amen. And it was defined ground. Amen. Amen. It was defined ground. Somebody had to stand for it. Somebody had to make sure. I mean, it was going to be used. Amen. It was going to be useful ground for them. So they had to. But I want to draw your attention to verse 10 this morning, because that's really not the sermon, even though we could make a sermon out of those points right there. But verse 10, "He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave unto the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil." And this morning we're going to talk about his hand clave to the sword. Let's pray, and then you may be seated. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I pray, Lord, that you'd be with us this morning. I pray, Lord, that you'd do a great work, Father, this morning through this sermon. I pray that you teach us a great truth, Father, and that you use me to help do that through the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You may be seated. "He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand clave unto the sword." These were words spoken by David. As we saw in verse 1, it's toward the end of David's life, and he's at a place now where he's talking about some of the mighty men. wouldn't be long. David would be dying. But he listed the men who had stood beside him and had stayed with him through thick and thin. He listed those men one by one and started to go through the list. And we didn't read the whole chapter, of course. And we saw about how they defended the ground. We saw how they did other things. We saw how they slew so many people, some of them, and 800 men at one time, so forth. What a bunch of great feats. But one of the men he listed here was Eliezer. He gives his name in the previous verse. And he talks about how Eliezer, I mean, I'm sure a smile came to his face when he brought up his name, thinking about Eliezer and what a faithful man he was of the mighty men that David had. But he makes mention about Eliezer and says, basically, I recall one time having a battle, and Eliezer fought with his sword so much as his hand became weary, his hand clave to the sword. He couldn't let it go. He couldn't let it go. And I forgot to bring my sword today. Let's find a sword. We need a sword, don't we? Oh, boy, oh, boy. I don't know if that one's going to come out. Where's Josue? Come here, Josue. See if that screws out of that base. Work on that down there a minute, will you? Don't strain yourself. Does it come out? Oh, good. That's turning the wrong thing, I think. Huh? Is it coming out? I think it is, isn't it? Oh, that's good. He's a regular blacksmith. Yeah, it does come out. Maybe I was turning it the wrong way. But he worked and labored so hard with that sword. Thank you, sir. You can leave the other thing there. He worked and, oh boy, I better hold it the other way. He worked and labored so much with that sword, fought with it, they couldn't let go of the sword. He couldn't let go of that thing. I mean, he had it. And so he was fighting Philistines. That was the enemy. And upon his fighting of the Philistines, we'll tighten that up so it won't come out. All right, there we go. Now we got a sword. Or a club, at least. His hand got weary. Now why? I don't know exactly why. Why it happened? Maybe his hand became taut, and he couldn't release the muscles in there. Couldn't release because he held onto the sword so long, and his hand just became stuck that way, and the muscles just became stuck that way. And he couldn't release his fingers from around it. I'm not sure. Maybe he had kept the sword so long that maybe he didn't want to let it go. Maybe he shouldn't let it go. Maybe psychologically he feels like he has to keep the sword, but maybe there's a danger lurking nearby and he needs to keep the sword in his hand. Maybe an enemy is going to pounce out at any time. But he had fallen many a Philistine that day, and he got to the point where his hand became weary, and his hand, the Bible says, clave to the sword. It's pretty neat, a fellow that can't put the sword down. That's pretty neat to think about a mighty man who fights so hard with the sword. I mean, folks, one thing about it is these guys that were the mighty men of David, they were not just some mamby-pamby individual. These were rough, tough, rugged men that were faithful and loyal to one person, and that was David, who was faithful and loyal to God Almighty. But he had fought so much with the sword, he just couldn't let go of the sword. It just clave to his hand. He just stayed there. No matter how much he wanted to maybe put it down, he just couldn't. We don't know the exact reason why, but his hand clave to it. Maybe he won't put it down. Maybe he couldn't put it down. Maybe there was a psychological reason why he couldn't. But tell you what, it's important to stick by the stuff. And it's important to be ready when there's a fight at hand. And that's exactly where we're at today, folks. A lot of people think, oh boy, it's just a time to take it easy, relax, don't get so intense. Hey, folks, there's a spiritual war going on out there, bless God. We can't set the sword down now. Now's not the time to set the sword. So we have a sword also. It's that book right there. It's called the Sword of the Spirit, amen. It's the Word of God, the Bible, amen. Now's not the time to set the Bible down. Now's not the time to relax and walk away. Now's not the time to not stick by the stuff. Now's the time to keep the book in your hand. That's a sword, amen. Now's the time. If you use the sword enough, maybe you won't be able to put it down either, amen. I want you to know, I've never been so happy and pleased to be able to say that I believe every word of that King James Bible that sits on that pulpit right there. I believe every word of it. From beginning to the end, every word is true. Every word is inspired of God. Every word I believe in, and I stand by every word. Why did Eliezer's hand cleave to the sword? What did the sword mean to this warrior, this loyal warrior? I have several purposes, as we see. We'll see in the message this morning. Number one is this. His hand clave to the sword for battle. His hand clave to the sword for battle. That's why I'm saying Eliezer had a sword in his hand. And he fought with it, amen. I mean, he just couldn't put it down, amen. Maybe he couldn't put it down. Maybe he shouldn't put it down. We talked about all of that. But he had a sword in his hand, amen. He just couldn't put it down. I got enough hands this morning, amen. There's the book right there. We shouldn't put that book down. That's the sword. Amen. We ought to stick with the sword. Keep your hand on the sword. Amen. I am a fundamental Bible believer. Amen. Don't be scared of that word. Amen. Fundamental just means basics. You know what? I am a fundamentalist when it comes to this book because I believe all the basic pretenses of this book to be completely and entirely true. I am a Bible believer. Amen. That means I believe every word. I believe in heaven. Amen. I believe in hell. Amen. A little place of fire. I believe in the fact that you must be born again. Amen. I believe that. Amen. I believe it. I believe in right. I believe in wrong. I believe in discipline. I believe in decency. I believe in honor. Amen. And I believe in America. Amen. I believe in the fighting against sin. Amen. I believe in saluting that flag. Amen. I believe in paying honor. Amen. To our country and those who fought for it and those who stood for it. Amen. I don't believe in disrespecting that. I believe in honoring that. Amen. I believe in standing for what's right when it comes to decency in our society, which is almost gone in the average place. I believe standing for it. Amen. My hand stays cleaved to the sword, amen, because of that. It's a battle. It's a battle. It's a battle. But you got to keep your hand cleaved to the sword, amen. Eliezer, why won't you put the sword down? Don't know. Maybe he couldn't. Maybe he shouldn't. Maybe he just wouldn't. But the truth of the matter is, Eliezer held on to the sword. Why? He was ready for battle. He was ready for battle. He was ready for battle. And our weapon for a battle of any time today is the Bible. That's God's sword. That's my sword, amen. God's word. It's a sword he's given to me to use, amen. Everything our God has ever done, he's done with this book. Everything. 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 Everything he's ever done, he's done with that book. Amen. That's how it is. Everything is ever done. Now, when he's created heaven and earth, the plants, the animals, all that, say, how did he do it? He did it with that book. Amen. And God said, let there be light. That's God's word. Amen. Hey, John 1:1-3 says this, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. That's a capital W on word. Amen. And the Word, listen to this, was God. Was God. Verse 2, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Let me repeat verse 3 again. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. God spoke a word, and it was created. God's word is how this world was created. Amen. God's word. How privileged we are to be able to have God's word in a book given to us to be able to access. When our Lord was on the Mount of Temptation, Satan came to Him and tempted Him. You know how many times? Three times. Satan said, "Why don't you jump off? Angel will catch you." He said, "Why don't you bow down?" And Satan said, "Why don't you bow down and worship me? And I will give you all that you see before you." Three times Satan tempted Him. However, Jesus never answered, "I am the Son of God." That's not how He answered. Instead, you know what He said? Three words. "It is written." It is written. What was Jesus' answer to Satan? God's word. God's word. God's word. He said, "It is written," each time, and then He gave an answer from the word of God. Amen. Anytime you have a battle, I'm telling you, you better cling to the word of God. You better let it cleave to your hand. Amen. You better stick with the stuff. That was Jesus' answer to fight the devil, was "It is written." That better be our answer to fight the devil. Amen. The Lord tells us how He's going to put down the Antichrist one day. You know what He says? 2 Thessalonians 2:8 says this, "And then shall the wicked be revealed," meaning the Antichrist, "whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of His mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of His coming." What's going to come out of His mouth? Yeah, and it's representative of what? His words, right? Exactly right. Exactly right. Representative of His word. With the spirit of His mouth, that means the word of God. How did Lazarus come out of the grave? You know what he did? He spoke two words. "Come forth." Come forth. God's word was that powerful that a dead man in a grave, He just told him, "Come forth." And he came forth from the dead. That's how powerful God's word was. Amen. The word of God, folks, is always the answer. Always the answer. How did the miracles happen? By the word of God. Amen. By the word of God. That's how. That's the reason that this church exists today. Amen. This is how we've been blessed to see people get saved and baptized. Probably more than 85 to 90% of the weeks that we've ever been in existence as a church since 2002 is only by the victory that's found in the word of God. That's the only way. God's word. Amen. God's word. The only victory will come through God's word. Amen. Everybody seeks the answer, and the answer is always found where? In God's word. In God's word. In God's word. That's where it's found. Our country wants the answer this morning. All kinds of crisis, and they've got these fuel crises and food problems and labor problems and race problems and war problems and recession problems and every kind of problem you can think of. Now we've got a drought problem. Well, the answer's found in God's word. By the way, you ever think about drought? What God always used that as in the Bible on a nation? Wasn't it God's judgment on a nation? That was a sinful nation whenever God sent a drought. Yeah. We've been in a drought in some parts of our country. They say another year of drought like this and we're going to be in serious trouble as a nation. Very well, maybe. Guess it's be time to be getting on your knees before God. Amen. That's the only answer. That's the only answer. You know what? Man comes up with an answer for everything. They got an answer for that. They can't make rain. They can't make it snow as much as they want. Amen. Unless they live back east, they can have 3 feet. But man can't come up with the answer for that. There's only one way. You're going to have to get a hold of God because He's the one that controls all of that. Man tries to come up with supposed answers for other things that aren't real answers either. But they can't come up with one for that because there is nothing you can do but to pray and beg God. That's the answer for America. What these politicians don't know is that they have the answer sitting on the coffee table of most living rooms across our country. But that's the problem. It never gets off the coffee table. It sits there. Most people got one in their family home because it's a nice decoration for the living room. But it's not open and is not used most of the time. There lies the problem. There lies the problem. That's the secret, folks. That's the key. Stand close to the Word of God. Let it cleave to your hand. Be ready for the battle. Amen. Number two this morning. His hand cleaved to the sword for comfort. His hand cleaved to the sword for comfort. Eliezer had taken his sword from the sheath and fought the battle and killed the Philistines. The battle was over, and what happened? His hand cleaved to the sword. He couldn't let go of it. Can't let go. My hand won't move. Can't let go of that thing. What's he got it for? Comfort. 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 What might there be around the corner? Another Philistine, right? Hiding in a bush. Hey, what's going to make a guy who's just been killing Philistines all morning feel comfortable? Having a sword in his hand. The sword clave to his hand, bless God, but I'm telling you what, it brought him comfort because there might be another Philistine ready to jump him. He'll be ready if he's got that sword in his hand. It'll provide him the comfort that he needs, amen. That is what this book gives, amen. This book we call the Bible gives comfort, amen. Even if you don't have a battle, it gives comfort, amen. It gives you comfort time and time and time again. And I've fought many spiritual battles, folks, over the years here. But guess what I always use when I have a battle? The Word of God. The Word of God. The Word of God. Anytime somebody brings something that looks like it's going to be a battle, you know what I'm going to answer with? I'm going to always answer with the Word of God. I will never go wrong with that. I will never be able to be accurately refuted by anybody who ever tries to bring an accusation against me because it is the Word of God. Or they can say what they want to say, but they won't be able to deny the Scriptures themselves. It brings comfort, folks. The Word of God. Keep your hand cleaved to it. Keep your hand cleaved to it. It'll provide you comfort too. There's not a problem in this country that could not be solved by this book. The financial problems of this country could be solved by following the financial principles found in that book. Could be solved. It tells what to do. When you spend more money than you bring in, you're sure to be bankrupt. When you just keep putting yourself deeper in debt, that's never been the answer to get anybody out of debt. I don't know what our president thinks. He thinks that's the answer? To borrow more money? To raise the debt ceiling, that's the answer? To be deeper into debt? Oh, that always works, yeah. How are you going to solve? You know what? It only brings comfort for a short while. Guess what happens eventually? You know, so many families do that. They get themselves in deeper, and they get themselves in deeper, and they get themselves in deeper. Now, they're either going to go all the way to go bankrupt, or they're going to wake up one day and say, wait a minute, what's happened here? I've got to go back to the principles of God's Word, and I've got to say, listen, this getting deeper in debt, man, it only makes you feel good for 6 months. Then all of a sudden the bills are coming, you got to pay them. And then you're in trouble. And then after you get so far in, guess what? Somebody owns you. That's what happens. Somebody owns you. And that's what will happen to us one day. Somebody else is going to own us. Probably China, someplace else like that, is going to own us. We're already letting them manufacture most of our stuff like a bunch of fools. They'll own us one day if we keep on borrowing, keep on borrowing. But the answer's found in the book. It's got the answer right there. Got the answer right there. Got to start cutting a lot of programs. Got to start cutting where you're spending money. Hey, listen, that's the answer for any family's personal budget. Why is that not the answer for our government? Hey, man, am I getting down to where you live or what? You depending on a government check or what? Is that what the problem is? Because if you're depending on a government check, you probably don't like what I'm saying, but you got to cut your expenses, bless God. Got to cut them, period. Can't keep spending. You ain't got the money. Going to have to cut back. That's the only way. That's the only answer. Get your hand cleaved on the sword. It's got the answer, government. It's got the answer, politician. It's got the answer. It can answer everything, bless God. That book, amen. What the country needs is to cleave to the sword this morning, amen. And if they do it, guess what? It'll bring comfort eventually. It'll bring comfort. It'll bring comfort. When Sir Walter Scott, I've mentioned quotes from him before, this famous Scottish poet, when he was dying, somebody asked him, they said, "Mr. Scott, what can we do for you?" Mr. Scott said, "Bring me the book." They said, "What book is that, sir?" Mr. Scott said, "The Bible. There's only one book." Amen. That's true. That's true. In 10.5 years, I've sure learned some things. Amen. And I've learned that the answer is just to stay with the book. Amen. The book. The book. The book. The book. The book's the answer. The book's the answer. You bring an accusation against me, I'm going to the book. Okay? I'm not going to answer an accusation to you unless you bring 2 or 3 witnesses and do it the biblical way. Otherwise, we're going back to the book. So you better come ready to get in the book if you're going to bring your accusation, because that's the only answer, is the book. Where does the book stand, and what position does that put me in regard to any accusation anybody brings? But if I cleave my hand to the sword, amen, I'll always be ready for the battle. Because that's the answer right there. It's the book. The book. The book. If you have an accusation and you don't have 2 or 3 witnesses, don't even bring it. Because you're violating the book. And God ain't going to hear you anyway. Because you ain't following the book. You better follow the book. It's right there in the book. Amen. My hand is going to cleave to the sword. You better have your hand cleave to the sword. Oh, and by the way, if your hand claves to the sword, guess what you find? It'll take care of all your little petty problems anyway. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Why are people so offended all the time? Because you ain't got your hand claved to the sword, that's why. Hey man, it's gotten awful quiet in here. What's the deal? Got a bunch of offended people or what? My hand's claved to the sword. I ain't got time to be offended. The cause of Christ is greater than petty offenses. Clave the sword. 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 It's taught me just what to say. The answer is in the sword, amen. Just let your hand cleave to the sword. After the battle is over, the night has come, and it's the darkest night of your life and the darkest hour of your day. The best thing to do is to cleave to the sword. The Bible says man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. What a book. What a book. That's a book right there. That's the book. It's the only book. It's a sword. Hand claved to the sword. Hand claved. What the fire's matter? You all a bunch of Methodists or what, bless God? The fire's the matter with you? I'm preaching about the book. I'm preaching about God's word. His eternal, everlasting, powerful word. Amen. Baptist men who agree with that say amen when the preacher preaches, bless God. Methodists don't. Amen. That's the difference. Bless God. If you believe in the book, you say amen. Bless God. Because I'm telling you what, you better get to the place where you stick to that sword, because that's the only thing that's going to bring you comfort one of these days. You're relying on some bank account to bring you comfort, you'll be sorry one day because it's going to go bankrupt. Mine will, yours will, they all will. But I'll still have the book. I'll still have the book. I'll still have the book. And that's something that ain't never going to go away. Say, oh, they'll come and take it away from you. They can't ever take God's word. They might take the covers of the Bible, but they can't destroy God's word. It's eternal. It's everlasting. It never goes away. It never goes away, bless God. It never goes away. Stick with the book. Stick with the book. What for? For comfort. What for? For battle. Stick with the book. Number 3. His hand clave to the sword for courage. His hand claves the sword for courage. The Bible is like a security blanket. Amen. Amen. It's like a security blanket. Amen. You ever seen Linus and his blanket in that cartoon? That is his security blanket. He's got to have that blanket with him all of the time. Hey, guess what? Memorize the word. You have it with you all the time. Clave your hand to the sword. Clave your hand to the sword. It'll give you courage. It'll give you courage. It'll give you courage. When you have to have an answer to something, guess what you can go? I got the sword. Courage. 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 It'll provide. I mean, it'd be strange to not have it close to you. I'd hate to go to battle without one. It'd bring courage in battles, spiritual battles, amen. His hand clave to the sword for battle. His hand clave to the sword for comfort. His hand clave to the sword for courage. Amen. Now there's one who's going to sit on the throne of David one of these days. Did you know that? The second David will be much more knighted than the first. Amen. The first David was a good one. The second will be better. The second one's the root and the offspring of David. That one is going to sit on David's throne. Praise God. I hope when he's there, he'll say, I wanted to tell you about some of my faithful, mighty men that were faithful for me. And I plan on him mentioning my name in that list for being faithful. And say, well, you never did anything great. I'm not concerned about doing anything great. I'm concerned about being faithful to what God wants me to do. That's what I'm concerned about. All I want to do is just be in the list. He can rate me on that list wherever he wants to. I just want to be on the list because I was one of his faithful, mighty men whose hand clave to the sword. Let's stand to our feet.